Welcome to another episode of Reading the Bible Responsibly. I appreciate you joining. Some of my listeners I know are parents, so this episode may really resonate with you. I have three kids, and I love them very much. I have a long list of parenting fails, but I like to think I'm continually improving. I take this responsibility really seriously, and those of you who are parents can probably relate. There's a parenting verse I remember hearing a lot when I was growing up. That was from Proverbs. Here's Proverbs 22:6. The NIV says, "Start children off in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it." I heard it from the King James Version, which renders it like this: "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I remember hearing people use that verse all the time, and what they would do is sort of back read into it. In other words, if good parenting leads to faithful kids, then it stands to reason that unfaithful kids must be a result of bad parenting, right? Is that a good takeaway from this verse? The problem here and the irresponsible reading of this passage comes from, I think, a misunderstanding of what Proverbs do. I think sometimes we read them like they're ironclad promises that are true for all people, at all times, and in all circumstances. But that is really not what Proverbs do. There's a process that gave us the Proverbs that we have. And again, even accounting for inspiration, we know that it wasn't just people sitting there in a trance writing words on a page. The inspired writers of Scripture had many influences, and they wrote in their own voice using natural processes. So we kind of know from history how you get Proverbs. By the way, Proverbs are not unique to Christian Scripture. They're not unique to the Hebrew Bible. A lot of ancient cultures have Proverbs. We even have them in our modern times. We just might not have collected them in an official book. But there were lots of Proverbs and lots of cultures in the ancient Near East. And we've gotten a picture historically of how these things came about. And I'm following here a process lined out by Walter Brueggemann in a lecture he did in 2004 on the book of Proverbs. And to get to a proverb, you go through several stages. So I want you to imagine in sort of a farming culture, an agrarian culture, somebody sitting on his porch and looking out at the neighborhood. And he sees one day that a lazy man loses his farm. And he notices that. And he actually notices over time that a few lazy men lose their farms. So step one would be observe. That lazy man lost his farm. The next step would be to generalize. So you might generalize and say, lazy people lose their farms. And then step three might be to hypothesize. And you might say, seems like lazy people don't get ahead in life. And the next step would be to universalize. And so you would add to it and say, lazy people don't get ahead in life because God set up the world that way. In other words, it's not just how things are, it's how they're supposed to be. And then a final step might be to stylize it, because lazy people don't get ahead in life is not really memorable. But if you're going to make it memorable, you're going to write it in poetry. So other verses in Proverbs chapter 10 really bring this home. They're stylized. Look at Proverbs 10:4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Notice the contrast. Lazy things do this, diligent hands do this. Another really stylized way of saying this is chapter 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. Now, that's a very memorable way. Think of that imagery there. Can you taste it and you feel it as you read that proverb? So lazy people are like vinegar on your teeth and smoke to your eyes. That's how sluggards are. Now look, these principles are generally true. I think we would all agree that hard work generally helps a person get ahead. But let's drill down a little bit. I mean, this verse says diligent hands bring wealth. That's what 10:4 says. Now listen, do you know any school teachers? Do you know any first responders? These people are super hard workers. They're very diligent, but they are not wealthy. And by the way, before you try to spiritualize the word wealth and say something like, oh, well, they're rich in a spiritual way. No, listen, this verse is talking about money and possessions. Related to this, do you know any really wealthy people who actually are kind of lazy and don't work hard? And we all do. So we're faced with a dilemma. Either the Bible isn't true, or Proverbs aren't making promises for all people at all times. And they aren't. They're generalizations. They're brought on through inspired writers who went through the process we outlined earlier. And it'll be a lot better if you will start prefacing every proverb you read with generally, or you might preface it with all other things being equal. If you do that, you're going to read Proverbs much more responsibly. And you would get phrases like this: generally, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Or, all other things being equal, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Reading this verse responsibly matters a lot. We can stop the parenting guilt for ourselves and for others. Yes, proper parenting is better than improper parenting, of course. And yes, good parenting leads to good outcomes more often than not. But it is not an ironclad promise. There are so many other things at play. So in addition to working on our parenting, we have to trust God's guidance and that He is at work in all things, including our kids. So generally, if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. But if he does, it does not automatically mean you were a bad parent. Thanks for joining. To my fellow parents, I love you. We're all in this together. I hope that these verses can bring us hope, help us be more responsible, help us take our duties more seriously, but also alleviate us of the dread and guilt we feel to think we've got to get it exactly right and that our kids' future depends on us getting it right 100% of the time. It doesn't. God is with us, and for that, we can be thankful. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time.